you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, reading verses 1 through 7. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1050. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this he received approval as righteous, God Himself giving approval to His gifts. He died, but through His faith He still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. Who's your hero? The answers would be as diverse as the persons to whom we speak, whoever we ask. Some might and would perhaps mention an athlete, or perhaps a coach. Others might speak of a teacher, or a parent, or a grandparent. Still others would tell you of a soldier, a firefighter, a police officer. We could go on and on with a never-ending stream of possibilities about who's your hero. What if we asked, what about your hero of faith? What would we find? Many people would mention a Sunday school teacher that they had had at some time in the past, or perhaps currently have. Some might mention a missionary. A few might mention a minister. Many people probably would say Moses, or David, or Jesus, or Paul. They are the most familiar names we know in the faith, after all, are they not? Moses and David and Jesus and Paul. Sure, we know a few others, but those are the first ones that generally come to mind. And we would do well to remember each one of those, holding them as examples to emulate, because each one gave us good examples, Jesus giving us the ultimate. But over the next few weeks, I want for us to look at some seemingly unlikely heroes of the faith, some of whom we would never think of on our own, and others we might think of if we had to list a list of 50, and they'd be down toward the bottom as we flip through a book, Who's Who in the Bible, trying to see, okay, who else can I add here? Persons about whom we do not readily know a lot when looking for examples to follow. But Hebrews 11 contains an interesting list. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 has often been called the roll call of faith. But I submit that rather it is not a roll call of faith alone, but rather a short list, a brief list of the faithful. And among those faithful ones are persons of whom we might not think when asked about religious heroes. We don't often think about Abel as a hero of the faith. Most of the time when we think about Abel, what do we think about? Cain. Cain killed Abel. And that's about as far as we go with Abel most of the time. We don't generally think about Enoch. In fact, a lot of folks, if you said, "Who is Enoch?" wouldn't have any clue. Because once again, we tend to skip over when we start reading those lists of folks who were born and who died in the early biblical text. What about Rahab? We certainly wouldn't think of Rahab as a hero or a heroine of the faith. And yet, further over in chapter 11, she is listed as one of the heroes of the faithful. And there are still others. Jephthah. Who in the world was Jephthah? That's right. Somebody knows. Yet there are many more persons who are like these. These in their quiet, faithful service than there really are of the Moses and Paul types, if you think about it. There are many more persons in the faith who are the quiet faithful and not the Moses or the Pauls. They are the unsung heroes and heroines of the faith. Everyday people living everyday lives until God does something that touches them in a special way. So let's look at what we find as evidence for this heroism. These heroes have found approval from God because of their faith, or rather, I would say, because of their faithfulness. In Hebrews 10, 37 and 38, the author quotes Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "In a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back." Faith is a prerequisite for endurance. But faith is more than simply believing. It involves faithfulness, a mode of living and doing based on our belief. These heroes and heroines of the faith that we find throughout the biblical text, a few of which we will look at in the next few weeks, are such not just because they believed in God, but they're heroes and heroines of the faith because their lives were lived out of faith. And not with any particular attention to an audience other than God. They didn't live out their lives in faith with another audience in mind. The only audience that they considered was God. The same God who called them and who watched over every aspect of their lives. Now the word we translate here, faith, the Greek word pistis, is also translated in places as trust, commitment, belief, and faithfulness. The author of Hebrews does not talk about abstractions. He's not into abstract philosophy and theology when he mentions faith. Instead, the persons listed lived lives based on the promises which God gave, but promises that they could not fully see, promises they could not fully understand. And yet they lived their lives based on God's promise in the unseen. Faithful living is possible because one perceives the realities of those unseen things, even if only for a moment, because of what God does in your life. Former Furman professor and friend, Edgar McKnight, writes, "Faith is paradoxical. On the one hand, faith alone is enough. When we begin to add requirements beyond simple trust, we get in trouble. But the other side of the paradox is that faith alone is not enough. Faith involves faithfulness. Faith demands action. And that's the paradox with which we live as believers. On the one hand, it is enough to believe and to make that profession of faith. But on the other hand, that's not enough because we have to live it out. Or that belief is merely so many words. And that's it. When most people then hear the names of some of these faithful, we begin to wonder, why would we include them in a roll call of the faithful? We mentioned a while ago that when most people hear the name of Abel, the only thing they think about is, well, he's a guy that was tricked by his brother Cain to go out into the field and was murdered. However, the author of Hebrews begins this roll call of the faithful with Abel. When he writes, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Now, a lot of times people wonder, why was Cain's offering not accepted and Abel's offering accepted? Some have said, and I've heard this for much of my life, some have said it's because Abel offered a blood sacrifice and God demands blood. Well, actually, pagan gods demand more blood than God demanded. And it was not because of the blood. Not according to the biblical text. Genesis doesn't talk about it being acceptable because it was a blood offering. But Genesis talks about it being acceptable because Abel offered the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions. In other words, he offered the best, and he did so without reservation or hesitation. Cain just offered the leftovers from his crop. He didn't offer the first fruits, the best. He offered what was left over. And he probably had some reservation about that. The author of Hebrews simply states, Abel's is acceptable because it was offered by faith. And the author further elaborates in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. We can't do it on our own. It is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Abel believed God existed, and he sought after God. And in faithfulness, Abel gave of his best. Not what was left over when he was tired, but rather, he gave of his best. The firstlings of the flock and the first of himself, the beginning of his day and beyond. And because of his faithfulness, Abel received God's approval as righteousness. And the writer says, and his life still speaks of faithfulness in life. You know, that's really a small thing. A proper sacrifice in believing and seeking God. And yet, it makes all the difference in the world. For it is a characteristic of a hero of faith to not just believe God exists, but to seek after God and to give ourselves in living sacrifices to God. And not just what's left over of ourselves, but our very being. Another of these unsung heroes is Enoch. The author says that Enoch pleased God by his faith and his faithfulness. And when it came time to die, God took him. William Barclay writes, in a wicked and corrupt generation, Enoch walked with God. And so when the end came to him, there was no shock, no interruption, and death simply took him into God's nearer presence. Because he walked with God when other men were walking away from God, he daily came nearer and nearer to God. We've mentioned before that in Hebrew thought, to walk meant to actively pursue something. And in particular, to actively pursue a lifestyle in harmony with something or someone. That statement is made twice about Enoch, that he walked with God. That statement is made in Genesis about Noah, in the wicked generation, that Noah walked with God. It was an attitude of seeking God and seeking God first. And that makes him a hero of the faithful, to pursue God. He, like Abel, believed that God exists. In other words, the evidence of things not seen. And he believed that God rewards those who actively seek him, the substance of things hoped for. Their faith was transformed, not from a future hope, but into a present reality daily in their lives. Now, it sounds like faith guarantees a success, doesn't it? But if we were to read further in chapter 11, especially toward the end of the chapter, we would find that the writer speaks of others who faced persecution and death in various ways. But then again, let's not forget, Abel wasn't that successful, not by our standards. His sacrifice and his pursuit of God ended up in his death. But as McKnight states, faith doesn't look to the consequences of believing and then decide to believe or not. Listen to that again. Faith does not look to the consequences of believing and then decide to believe or not. Nor do the positive and negative things in life determine genuine faith. Rather, the purposes of God in our lives brings the faithful through both successes and failures. True faith doesn't look and say, okay, what are the consequences? If I believe and if I follow God, this may happen or this may happen. Do I want to believe or not? True faith follows God and seeks God regardless of the consequences, regardless of the potential successes or failures, regardless of whether our brother will murder us or God will take us before we die. True faith trusts in the purposes of God, the guidance of God in our lives, and that's what will bring us through. I think this should lead us to renewed faith and faithfulness, not seeking reward other than God's presence and God's nearness. Because faith is never static. Not real faith. Faith is never static. It is always living. And it always brings life. Whether to Moses or Paul, or to an Abel, an Enoch, a Rahab, a Silas, a Jim, a Jane, an Angela, a Justin, a Tammy, or any other believer who is faithful. Faith is living and brings life. And you too may become one of the unsung heroes of the faith. Unsung to everyone but God, who is faithful and just and brings us to His life. May we pray? Oh Lord our God, we sometimes sit back and wonder. We wonder about our faith. We wonder about the lives we live. We wonder if we can ever be good enough. Help us to understand that we are called to be faithful. Faithful in living nearer and nearer to You each day. Faithful in giving ourselves to Your guidance, to Your wisdom, to the leadership to which we have been called. Even when sometimes we're not so sure that we are leaders. Multiply our faith and our faithfulness that we might find life each and every day in Your kingdom. It's in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 353. Jesus is Lord of all. As we sing, may this truly be not only our prayer, but may this be our declaration that Jesus is indeed Lord of all. Lord of our thoughts and Lord of our service each and every day. As we sing, our invitation is simple. If you have never made a public profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior and feel called by God to do so this morning, we would welcome you and rejoice with you. If you are searching for a church home and would join with us here as a place from which to minister, we would welcome you. If you would come to rededicate yourself in God's service, we would welcome you. As we sing hymn number 353, Jesus is Lord of all.